Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It is episode 114, and we're enjoying working our way through the New Testament. If you haven't been tuning in with us before, or you're watching the video for the first time, we've been traveling our way from the book of James through the New Testament. We find ourselves in Jude, and it's great to be opening up God's Word, pausing in the afternoon and seeing what He has to say to us today. And as I say, we find ourselves in Jude for the last time. So if you've got your Bibles there, we'll be turning to the letter of Jude. Before we read it, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your great mercy and grace that you have shed abroad and that you have shed into our hearts. We pray that as we turn to your word this afternoon, that you would calm us and that you would help us to learn and hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jude, starting at verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Well, we've been seeing through the letter of Jude that Jude's really concerned about this group of people who have snuck into the church, this group who have managed to weasel their way in and have a voice in the church, and the things that they've been doing, as we'll remember, is leading people astray into sin. They've been promoting a free license, in a sense, to be able to live as you want, that it doesn't matter that Jesus taught these different things about how to behave. Grace means you don't need to obey commands. You're free to live however you want. And they've promoted this sinful type of living. Well, having dealt with them, Jude has stated emphatically many times judgment upon these people, warning them and warning the believers of them. And now Jude, in a sense, comes and addresses the believers. And he says to them, in effect, these things will happen. So evil people will come, and evil days will happen, just as it's been said. But you need to live how God wants you to live. And so he tells them that, look, I know it's scary. I know there's wolves amongst the sheep. I know that there's these evil people who have snuck into the church. But remember that God told you this would happen through the prophets and through Jesus Christ. And so in verse 17 to 19, he says that Jesus Christ, the apostles, they all warned you that this would take place, that there would be scoffers living in ungodly passions. In other words, don't be surprised. And you know, this is a really good reminder for us, isn't it? As we live out life in the 21st century, as we see the moral decay of our society, as we see our governments and our social structures rejecting justice, rejecting mercy, rejecting righteousness, exchanging the truth for the lie, calling evil good and good evil. As we see all of this in our society, we need to remember, we need to be reminded that God said this would happen. And the reason we need to remember that is it gives us comfort. It gives us comfort to know that God told us beforehand. The reason it gives us comfort is because it means we know he's in control. Though this is surprising to us, though this is scary at times to us, it's not surprising to God. And God is still in control. God, as it says in Psalm 2, laughs in derision at the plotting of the world. You know, as China moves forward with its aggressive regime against the church, we remember that God laughs in derision when the nations plot in vain. And so we need not be afraid. Don't fret, honestly, don't fret. Don't fret about coronavirus. Don't fret about your government's response to coronavirus. Don't fret about the transgenderism ideology and the abortion industry and euthanasia and everything else that's getting promoted, the sexualization of children. Don't fret. I'm not saying don't care. I'm not saying don't fight against evil, but don't let it cause you to be afraid or worry. Because God warned you beforehand so that you would trust him. But since we know these times will come, and so we're not surprised, since we've been told these times will come, how should we live? How should we live in these times? You know, he says these times will come. And so we've come into one of these times, haven't we, as the church, as Christians right now in the 21st century, we've entered into one of these times. So how should we live? How should we act as the people of God? Jude states seven things. He gives seven, in effect, commands of how he wants the people of God, how he wants you and I to live in this uncertain age. From verse 20, he says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. One, so build yourself up in the faith. Now, that's an active thing, isn't it? Work to make your faith grow. Work to cause your faith and trust in Christ to grow. Don't sit around on your haunches doing nothing, hoping everything's going to get better. No, have faith in God and see your faith be built up as you walk in faithfulness with God. So, number one, build your faith up. Number two, praying in the Holy Spirit. And you say, oh, wait a second, is this one of these, you know, like it's praying in tongues things? Is this one of these weird praying things? Well, interestingly, if you connect it with what follows, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, it sounds a whole lot like something we see in Romans. Do you remember in Romans 8, and we won't turn to it, but just remember in Romans 8, you can have a look later if you don't believe me. In Romans 8, it talks about one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And what it does is it intercedes on our behalf. Why? So that we may know that we are children of God. What does the Holy Spirit do inside of us? It cries out, Abba, Father, so that we would know we are children of God. When we can't pray, when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. So what is all of this about? All of it is about us knowing we're children. Now, that's like a different way of saying, stay in the love of God. You see, so Jude's saying, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit. In other words, be busy in prayer and be busy in prayer knowing that the Holy Spirit is doing the very thing Paul is talking about in Romans 8, ensuring that you know that you're in the love of God. Come to God as your Father with your needs. When you're worrying, come in prayer. But we need to keep moving. We need to keep moving before I get distracted. So, praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal salvation. So be patient. These days will come, but these days will not remain forever. Another day will come. And when that day comes, when Jesus Christ returns, when your eternal salvation is finally realized,
you'll never taste one of these days again. Do you know that? You know how glorious that will be? And so you wait for the mercy of the Lord to be finally revealed. In other words, you wait for the return of Christ. But then we also have mercy on those who doubt. You know, we're going to have people around us who really struggle. Christians and non-Christians. There'll be people in your church who struggle, and maybe you don't. You need to have mercy on them. But there's going to be people, especially in the world, who are really struggling, and what they need is your mercy, your kindness, your reaching out to them, your loving them, not chastising them, but offering them hope, offering them Jesus Christ. But then also, notice that we're to save others by snatching them out of the fire. There are people who are living in sin. There are people who have bought in to the evil days, aren't there? And that's in the church and outside the church. There are people who have bought into abortionism and they're in the church. It's a crazy idea to me, but people have done it. There are people who have bought into the transgender ideology and they're in the church. They're not in our church, but they're in churches. And there are people who are outside the church and they need to be snatched from the fire. In other words, if they continue on in their life, they're going to remain in the fire. They're going to be judged by God. And so we have the opportunity now to snatch them from the fire, to talk to them about the hope that we have within us. But then we show mercy without fear. You see, it's scary at a time like this to do this, isn't it? It's scary to be merciful. It's a little bit scary to try and snatch people from the fire because the world thinks we're bigots. The world thinks we're crazy. The world thinks we're insane. The world thinks we have no idea what we're talking about. You see, the world is so mixed up that everywhere is insane except for the church. And because everyone else is insane, the church is seen as insane. And we need to not fear. We need to be prepared to go out into this world and to go out into the churches and proclaim Jesus Christ. And when enemies oppose us, we need to not be afraid, but keep proclaiming Jesus. Keep proclaiming mercy. Keep proclaiming truth. And then lastly, we need to hate sin, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Hate sin. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. And it's interesting that when you sum up all these seven things are really a summary of what these evil people who have snuck in the church were doing. You see, they were seeking to undo all of this, weren't they? They were seeking to promote sin. They were seeking to promote love of self, not love of God. They were seeking to ignore the neighbor, ignore the sinner, and just worry about your own sin. They were seeking to build themselves up, not build their own faith up. And so Jude, in these seven commands, he in a sense says, whatever the world is pursuing, pursue the opposite. Pursue what makes for righteousness. And you might think to yourself, how on earth am I going to do that? How am I ever going to build up my faith and keep myself in the love of God and be praying and wait and have mercy and show mercy and save people and snatch people and hate sin and all this other stuff? How am I going to do that? It's hard enough to just get out of bed and face the reality of this world. It's hard enough to just get through another week. I struggle to just keep my head above the water. And we can struggle so much. How are we ever going to do this? And Jude closes with this just beautiful doxology. He says that he is able. He gives glory to God as the one who is able to keep you from stumbling and able to present you blameless. In other words, he who has called you and loved you is able and will keep you, hold you, save you, and present you to Christ as perfect. It's going to do it through Christ. You see, through Christ's ministry, through Christ's salvation, through Christ's atonement, through Christ's sanctification, through Christ, all of these things he will accomplish in you. And so in the end, it's actually all not that hard. And what I mean by that is, it's not hard in the sense that I need to go out and work really hard and you need to go out and learn a new way of life and a new way of living. No, what you need to do, What you need to do is believe in the gospel. What you need to do is come back and see Jesus Christ. See him upon the cross. See him in his splendor. See him in his beauty. See him in his majesty. And he will enable you to get all the way home, even in turbulent times like these. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your kindness. Thank you that you will keep us and you will present us. And we pray that you would give us all the strength that we need to walk the path that you've set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, we've finished Jude, which means tomorrow we begin the book of Revelation, which is pretty exciting. I've been really looking forward to getting to Revelation. I know it's a pretty controversial book at times, but it'll be interesting to unpack it and see what we find there. Obviously, we're not going to be spending the next 5 years picking it apart, and it'll be interesting maybe for some of us to think about how we read the book of Revelation. But either way, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, same place, same time, 4:30 New Zealand Standard Time. And I look forward to catching you for another time in God's Word. Have a most blessed afternoon.